Let's take our Bibles tonight, open up with me to 3 John one more time, and we are going to finish this little book off tonight. I hope this book has been an encouragement to you as well as 1 and 2 John. It's taken us a while to get through all of them, but just a lot of great things that we have seen in this little book. This book introduces us, as I've said all the time, it introduces us to three gentlemen. We have covered two of them. And those gentlemen, we've given them some names, and this was not me doing it. This was an outline I found from somebody else. We took a look at the first gentleman. His name is Gaius, and Gaius was an absolute joy. And so we just call him the joy. He brought John a lot of joy because he was a person that was in love with truth, and his life was about truth. And so it brought John a great deal of joy. Then we took a look at the jerk. And the jerk was a guy by the name of Diotrephes. Diotrephes was a guy that loved to have the preeminence in the church. He was an individual that we might call the church boss. And he was somebody that, he just dictated what was going to happen. And he didn't want people to receive John and his associates. And if they did, he made sure to get them excommunicated from the church, whether that was personally or he just worked behind the scenes to make it happen. Tonight we're ready for the third individual, and that third individual is a guy by the name of Demetrius. We'll get to him in just a moment, but in 3 John verse 11, we left off here last week, and I didn't get to develop the point as much as I would have liked, so I'm going to do that because we're getting ready to look at this jewel of an individual. The Bible says in verse 11, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Up until this point, we have an example of each. We have Gaius and we have Diotrephes. We have an example of good and we have an example of evil. We have an example of one who does good and we have an example of somebody who does evil. And John says, follow that person which does good. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Keep a marker here. But go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. And the Bible says this, the Apostle Paul, as he's talking to the church of Corinth, he says, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verses 6 and 7, notice what Paul says to the church of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And it says, And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You became followers. You are imitators. You are mimicking us. Can we say, would we dare to say to anybody tonight, follow me closely, mimic what I'm doing, imitate what I'm doing. If you want to know how you're supposed to live and to walk, follow my example because I'm following Christ. I'm following him that close. Would we dare to say that to anybody? You say, well, this is Paul. Paul was an apostle. Folks, don't ever confuse something. Yes, he was an apostle. That was the job God had given him to do. But he was flesh and blood human, just like every one of us. He was not a lick different. You say, oh, well, he had to have been something special. No, you remember what we saw in Corinthians a couple of weeks ago? Basically, he was short, bald, and had a unibrow. So he wasn't anything special to look at. So you weren't following him because of his looks. You were following him because of what he did. Follow those individuals. Imitate. Mimic. Be somebody that can be followed. Our life ought to exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do at all times. Now, going back to 3 John, let's look at the jewel because this is another good example. 3 John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men. And of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Let's take a look at this jewel. What makes this guy so special? First of all, let's talk about his name, Demetrius. What does the name mean? The word Demetrius means belonging to Demeter. Demeter was the Greek goddess of fruits and crops. And although Demeter is most likely known as a grain goddess, she also appeared as a goddess of health, birth, and marriage, and had connections to the underworld. Remember that we're in a time of pagan mythology that is unfolding, both Greek as well as Roman. And so Demetrius here, this Roman god of fertility and fruits and crops and connections to the underworld, what that tells us is that Demetrius had a pagan upbringing. Remember Diotrephes, his name was from mythology, and it meant loved and nurtured by Jove, or the equivalent being Zeus. By the way, in case you're wondering, Gaius's name, what did that mean? What do you think Gaius means? It means happy and rejoicing. That one's not too difficult. But these other two guys, one, Diotrephes, loved by Zeus. The other one, Demetrius, belonging to the goddess of fruit and crops. Here's the point that I want to make. Your name does not determine your nature. Your name does not determine your nature. These were names that were put on these young boys long before they ever even knew how to spell Diotrephes and Demetrius. Their nature is the same nature that you and I started with. And what changed in their nature is what they chose to do with the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This tells us what our nature was before coming to know Christ as Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And Paul says here to the church of Ephesus, we all had this beginning. Do we recognize that in ourselves tonight? That we all had this nature, that we were the children of wrath. But you say, well, what changed? I said back when we looked at Diotrephes, I doubt seriously that Diotrephes was really saved. I think Diotrephes was one of those individuals that was hanging in the church, kind of crept in unawares like Jude says, and this was a guy that never knew the Lord as the Savior. And he demonstrated this lack of salvation, this lack of relationship, in how he reacted with the apostles of God, with those individuals who came associated with the apostle. But then we have Demetrius. The Bible doesn't tell us when, but at some time in Demetrius' life, Demetrius came to know the Lord. Take a look with me. You're in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verses 4 through 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And the first four verses. 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Or could we say, having escaped that first nature, and now we have a new nature. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Demetrius, his life changed at some point. Again, we don't know when that changed, but something changed in him. And John is able to look at him as a jewel. He is a jewel of a life that even though his name is associated with that which is pagan, that was an old nature, he is now somebody new. And he has a new name written down in glory, doesn't he? Can we see the change in our lives? Are we amazed at what God has done in us when he saved us? There's a fellow by the name of Bob Gass. He wrote a devotional book, and he talks about a pastor that was in New York City. The guy's dead now. But the guy's name was Jerry Kaufman. It says, Jerry Kaufman pastored the Love Gospel Assembly in the Bronx, New York. He had a passion for the inner city. And like a character out of The Cross and the Switchblade, he ran with gangs in some of New York's worst neighborhoods. The night that he was saved, he was instantly delivered from heroin. And 3 days later was in Bible college studying the Word of God. When he graduated, he came back to his old neighborhood and started preaching. And with an incredible heart of love, he built a church in one of America's 10 worst neighborhoods, the Bronx, New York City. You know, that's what the Lord will do when he changes you. You say, well, how in the world? Heroin's an addiction. God can break any chain. Amen. I tell you what, I get so sick and tired of the nonsense of the AA groups, the other help groups that are out there. And I don't care how long. If you were an alcoholic, you will be a recovering alcoholic till the day you die. Show me that in God's Word. When God sets a prisoner free, they're free. The chains have been broken. And if you can break, if God can break the power of heroin in a person's life, what else do you think God can break? Our God's a great God. Can you imagine being a recovering this or that until the day you died? That is, and just, oh man, am I going to fall off the wagon? Am I going to fall off the wagon? You know, Brother Jack Snyder, he was not shy about sharing his testimony about the alcohol that he drank before salvation. But you know what salvation did for him? Broke the chain of addiction. God's good. There are some that are in here, maybe you were smoking and you got saved. Maybe it took a while, but when God broke the chain, it's gone. It is amazing. Some of you could cuss like a sailor. And when God saved your soul, he saved your tongue as well. Some of you were as loose as a goose. But when God saved your soul, he gave you a morality. He gave you purity. He gave you a new start in life. That's the great God we have. Your name does not determine your nature, but rather who you know determines your nature. And if you choose to stay in that old nature, it's because you've chosen to stay with the one that hates your soul and is more than happy to see your soul condemned in hell, because that's where Satan will be for the rest of his life as well. But if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to make some great changes in you. I say this quite often, but that old invitation song, Just As I Am, the Lord takes every one of us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us just as we are. And that's more than salvation. That is a life change that will begin and it will continue until the day we die. We're never reaching perfection, and God's never finished working on us. How many of us, if we were God, would have gave up on ourselves, much less anybody else, a long time ago? Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you? And that he hasn't given up, and he's not going to give up. And you know that because of the promises of Scripture. Now, let's go back to 3 John and notice what else is said about Demetrius here. The Bible says of Demetrius in verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men. Everybody speaks well of Demetrius. Have you ever heard somebody say, or maybe you said it yourself, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Doesn't matter what they say. Is that true? In some ways, yes. You got to define it. You got to contextualize it. In some ways, yeah, that's true. But there's also a lot of other ways that is wrong as wrong can be. Because it really does matter what people think of us. Because we're Christians. We name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do people view us? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the first 12 verses are mini sermons, if you will. And they are about what is expected of a Christian life that would be pleasing to the Lord. When you get to verse 12, it says this, that you may walk honestly toward those in the church. What does it say? That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that is outside the church, that is outside the family of God, and that you may have lack of nothing. It's important that we walk properly before the world. Go to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. And the Bible says here in Colossians 4, verse 12, excuse me, verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We have got to be careful how we walk in front of a lost world. And that means at all places, you know, we don't have the right Christian. And I know we want to sometimes, don't we? We don't have the right to blow our stack. We don't have the right to give somebody a piece of our mind. We can't afford to lose it, right? We don't have a right to sound off on individuals. We do not have that right. But instead, we are to walk very carefully. We are to walk very honestly. We are to walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Why is that so important? Jot down some references. I'm going to read the verses of Scripture to you. You jot the references down, if you would, please. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 7, these are some of the qualifications for a pastor. And the Bible says that a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Why? Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. When those first deacons were chosen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, the qualifications were laid out. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The world is going to have plenty of things to say negatively about Christianity, and we know that. And they're going to, because we name the name of Christ, they're going to hurl some of those things at us. You say, well, what do we do? First of all, we need to make sure that we don't provide them with the ammunition for the accusations. When they fire upon Christianity, the accusations have got to be lies. They've got to be. And we have to give the best representation of Christianity that we possibly can. Do we understand that, Christian? And that's why. And I'll be the first one to tell you, that's hard to do. It's hard to do because there are times you want to go off on somebody. How many of you have been on hold for 30 minutes or so? And transferred from this to this to this to this. And finally, you get to talk to a real person after you've had one computer prompt after another. You're not feeling real spiritual. That's hard to do, isn't it? You've gone to your doctor. They've had you in the waiting room. You've waited. You've waited. You've waited. You've waited. And you've waited. It's hard to be nice. Do we have to? You go to work tomorrow and you're going to be working around some gems that know how to push every button you got. What's our responsibility as Christians? We've got to remember that we have a testimony and a witness that we have to maintain. And it may mean that we've got to walk away for a little bit and bite our tongue and pray and bite some more and pray some more and ask God to help us. But we cannot afford to blow our testimony. Because who knows when we just might be the person that that has annoyed us to death is going to go through a time of trouble. And they know how you've treated them. They know how you've responded to them. They know that you've tried to be a Christian witness to them. And all of a sudden they need help. They're going to go to you because you've done the right thing. And you may have an opportunity to at least tell them about Jesus, but you might also have an opportunity to lead them to Christ. It's hard, isn't it? It is hard to bite down all those fleshly responses that we would just like to unload some days. But we can't afford to do that. I know it's a tall order, but as long as we are walking, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16 that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's got to be a spirit walk every ounce of the day. Go back with me to 3 John. Not only is Demetrius a person and his name does not make up his nature, but his nature is made up by who he knows, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a good report of all men. And then the Bible says, and of the truth itself, even the truth was a witness on his behalf. It's no wonder Demetrius was a jewel. He's a rare one. A fellow by the name of F.B. Hole says this. He said, it is not that he bore witness to the truth, but that the truth bore witness to him. Demetrius was not the standard by which truth was tested. The truth was the standard by which he was tested. And having been so tested, he stood approved. We talked this morning that the standard of our life has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get to that standard? We've got to go to the truth of the Word of God. And the truth of the Word of God has got to be something more than what we read. It's got to be what we live. Opinions are a dime a dozen. And we have to realize that somebody, maybe a lot of somebodies, has an opinion about us. They're going to have an opinion about every single thing that we do. And if we try to persuade or dissuade, depending on what the opinion is that someone has of us, we are going to find ourselves running in circles. We need to worry about God's opinion. We need to be concerned about what God has to say about us, what God thinks of us, and what he sees in our lives. We are ultimately validated by truth. So we have to live in alignment with the Word of God. Now, that brings us to two final verses and no more characters. We have the joy, Gaius. We have Diotrephes, the jerk. We have Demetrius, the jewel. Let's look at the conclusion in these last two verses of 3 John. John says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust that I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Let's stop with that right there. The phrase face to face in the Greek is stoma pros stoma. The word stoma in the Greek is the word for mouth. It's not face to face like face, but rather mouth to mouth. I want to see your lips. Now that is a very, very intimate picture. Take a look with me back in your Bibles in the book of Numbers. Go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, in the first two verses. In Numbers 12, the first two verses, the Bible says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Can you swing your head a little bit with that? Give an attitude. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Oh, how disgusting, Moses. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? If you've made this bad of a choice in who you're marrying, is God only speaking through you? I mean, how many other things wrong have you said, Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? I love these next words. And the Lord heard it. You know the Lord hears everything we say. Oh, let's get it a little bit more shocking. You say, I didn't say it, I just thought it. Lord heard that too. I mean, you could have shouted it, you could have whispered it, or you thought it, and God heard it just as clearly. So here they're spouting off about who he's married. They don't like her. Maybe they don't like where she's from. Maybe they don't like the color of her skin. And who knows what it is they don't like. And now they're going to question. God's got to be speaking through us as well, because he's really making a mess of this. Look at verses 7 and 8. The Lord says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Miriam's going to develop a good case of leprosy here. Keep reading that passage. I think we ought to read passages like this in the Old Testament and realize how dangerous it is to form opinions and to spout them off, to shoot our mouths off. Because God may have to intervene. But what a great thing to say here to Moses. I talk to him mouth to mouth. When God speaks to us, doesn't he in essence do the exact same thing? Listen to Isaiah 55. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, finish it out, out of the mouth of God. This is even more personal and intimate than a face-to-face. God is speaking to us. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to what he has to say? Going back to 3 John, there is a threefold blessing that is given. In verse 14, peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. I don't have the time to really develop this as much as I would like to tonight, but first of all, peace be to thee. That is an awesome, very Jewish way to talk to people. Shalom. Shalom was a hello and it was a goodbye. But it was a blessing of peace upon a person's life. These individuals to whom John is writing, as well as to Gaius and to Demetrius, this is a message, and he says, peace be unto you. We already have peace with God the moment that we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. It is the peace of God that we receive. And on a daily basis, we can have that peace with God, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So this is a great greeting, a great goodbye that we can bless somebody with. Just blessing them. Peace. God, the God of peace to you. But then he says, our friends salute thee. Bruce Hurt, writing in Precept Austin, says, we are going to be together for a long time up there in heaven, so it only makes good sense to form good Christian friends down here. Are you a friend to your brethren? Do you have Christian friends? More specifically, do you have an accountability partner, another mature man or woman that is such a good friend that they will hold you accountable? They are willing to ask you when you tell them that you're doing just fine. That's a typical response. How are you doing today? Just fine. And they love you so much, they'll look at you and say, did you just lie to me? Now, maybe we get defensive and say, I have friends. Name them. Who are they? Because the last part of the greeting, he says, greet thy friends by name. I'm not just generically saying friends, John says. I've got them by name. Name those who are a joy. Name those who are a jewel. Tell them. Tell somebody what they mean to you and what a difference that they have made in your life. Don't wait till sometime down the road to do that. Do it now. Tonight, when we end this service, Christians, do that. Tell somebody what they mean to you and how much you've appreciated and been blessed by them. How much you've enjoyed watching them grow. How much you've enjoyed their friendship. How much you've enjoyed working together with them. Tell somebody that. Oh, I don't want to do that tonight. I've put this challenge, I've dropped this challenge down. What if the person that you said, oh, not tonight, maybe Wednesday, maybe next week, maybe I'll jot them a note. What if they were to go home to be with the Lord yet today? And you never told them. I'll tell you what, that will be a haunting regret that will disturb you for a very long time. That I didn't tell somebody that I needed to tell. You know, as we look at this book, 14 verses, one verse is dedicated to an individual that was a jerk. One verse. That means 92.3% of, excuse me, of the verses that are left were very positive. And I think, folks, we need to make adjustments in our own lives. Maybe even in our way we interact with people. It's so easy to focus on the negative and to make that a greater percentage. But the Bible characters didn't do that. They took time to focus on those positive things. And folks, we've got so many positive things to focus on. I'm not saying perfection. I'm not saying there aren't things we need to work on. I'm not saying that there aren't any problems, any of that kind of stuff. But why focus on all that? Why make that the emphasis? Why not make the emphasis the fact that we have a family and we've got so many good people here? Have you told anybody lately? Let people know how much you care for them. It's really that important. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you how much God cares for you. In the Gospels, the Bible tells us that even the hairs of our head are numbered. I don't know, maybe if you're starting to thin and go bald, you care how many are there. But still, I'm thinking, who cares how many it is? I mean, a few less today than there were yesterday, but who cares about a number? You know, if you could dial into one of those clickers, the exact number of hairs on your head, and then every time one fell out, and you're just a clicking away, and all of a sudden that number's going down, you're going to discourage yourself, aren't you? So instead of doing that, leave it up to the Lord. He's got the count. That's how much He cares for us. And we don't have to worry about that. We're not supposed to worry about the number of hairs on our head. Let Him take care of that. It matters to Him. If God cares that much about how many hairs are on our head, don't you think He cares about our soul? He cared about it so much. God so loved this world. God so loved you, loved me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. And tonight, even as much as God loves us, there is nothing God can do to force us to accept Him. He's not going to make anybody get saved. He's not going to make anybody trust Him as Savior. He has offered the gift to all. But all have to call upon Him to be saved. We know, scripturally speaking, all will not do that. And in fact, the majority will not do that, because those that are on that very narrow road are a minority. Isn't it a great thing to be a minority? Wouldn't you love to be on that narrow road that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? This can be the night that you do that. We'd love to take you aside and introduce you to Jesus. Give us that opportunity tonight. Stand with me, please, as heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we've had to be here. Tonight we thank you for Demetrius and what a great example that we have in his life. Tonight, as believers in Christ, help us to see these individuals that are joys and that are jewels in our life. Sure, there's always going to be a Demetrius or a Diotrephes or two in our lives, but there are so many more Gaiuses and Demetriuses in our lives. Help us, Lord, not to neglect sharing how much we care and love those people. Tonight, though, for that lost soul, tonight we ask that they would surrender to you. They'd give their heart and life to you and know what it is to be born again. Give us, Lord, the privilege to lead somebody to you, we pray in Jesus' name.